It is just after midnight on November the 8th, 2020. It is just after midnight on November the 8th, 2020, and the wind is blowing outside my window. That's right, it's November the 8th, 2020. It is midnight in the darkness of your corrupted, broken soul. There are demons lurking outside your window. Tap, tap, tap on the window. Hello, demon. Yes, indeed, it is Sunday, technically, just after midnight on November the 8th, 2020, and hey, how's it going out there? Tangata Manu to all of you. Tangata Manu, that means, I think, Birdman. Yes, indeed, we have been witness to the recent Birdman cult of the election of the president of the Skyhawk Shaman cult, and so far, it's going as planned. I think, according to the people that plan these things. One does not know if either Biden or Trump will successfully carry the bird's egg from the rookery back to shore. But one of them's going to be the bird man. Right? Right? There'll be one bird man. One Skyhawk shaman to rule all shamans. That's right. So, I guess the current state of things, as if I give a fuck, right, about the Birdman cult of America, I don't really believe your votes were ever counted. I think Jim makes a good point that by keeping it a secret, people get less angry. But this idea that your votes were ever counted is kind of ridiculous. In fact, the mythology of things like John F. Kennedy stole the election in 1960 actually works to reinforce the myth that the elections work, because you can only write steal an election if the election is honest and correct in the first place. That is its own kind of fucking mindfuck gaslighting. Stole an election? Steal an election? It's like saying you're going to steal a bucket of shit. You know, you didn't steal anything, because these roles, the Skyhawk Shaman, the Tangata Manu, the Birdman, the President of the United States, doesn't have any power at all. Sorry if that shocks you. There ain't no power there, there ain't no gold and fricassee, and there ain't no power in that fucking White House. You want to find the power... You want to find the power in D.C., you'll get closer. Like, if we played that game, you know that game when you were a kid? You're warmer, now you're getting cold, you know, when you're trying to find something. It's like hide and seek, warm, cold, warm, cold. You're really, if you're looking for the power in D.C., you're going to get really cold looking at the White House. But man, you get warmer if you go to the Eccles Building. What is the Eccles Building? Well, that houses the Federal Reserve. So yeah, Fed Chairman Powell is closer to the power than anybody would be if they were President Trump or President Biden. Tangata Manu, it doesn't fucking matter, okay? You're much closer to the source of power if you're at the Eccles Building than you are if you're in the White House. And if that shocks you and makes you sad, I am sorry. But the time for pretending that reality is not what it is over. Okay, the options we're looking at right now, And I don't want to spend too much time on it because Jim and I will be beating this topic to death tomorrow. The options we're looking at right now is either basically hyperstatism or some type of collapse. And the collapse could precede hyperstatism, but again, a lot of people will be killed first. And I think if it's either hyperstatism or collapse, I think a lot of people are going to be killed. And I think a lot of people have been killed. If they release an actual bioweapon this time, they'll kill more people. And then they'll say, look, look, we told you it was a virus. We told you it was a virus. Your old Aunt Sally died of something freaky deaky. Yeah, they might release an actual bioweapon soon. I think that this is where they're at. And I have a podcast I'll probably do tomorrow if I'm feeling really dark. The title is called Dark Winter, and it has to do with this phrase, dark winter, that's been showing up in speeches. I think Biden even refers to it. And we'll talk about that tomorrow. The only thing I'm really certain of right now is that for more than a year, even before the monkey herpes came along, we have been exposed to one fucking psyop after another. And I do think some of these are based on real things. Like, the pedophile issue is real, okay? There are pedophiles, there are child abusers, there are cannibals in our government. This is real. This happens. This exists. But if you believe these revelations have been like the acts of good people in the deep state, if you believe that Q nonsense, you are so fucked in the head right now. These revelations were meant to be released. I have a podcast from January called Popping Smoke, and that's a reference to something. If you have any infantry experience, you should know what that means. But the idea of popping smoke is to create a cloud of concealment as you exit the fucking stage. A lot of, you know, Jim brings this up a lot. A lot of CEOs retired in 2019. A lot. You know, there was a lot of stuff going on. You know, our good friend Jeff Bezos, I believe his divorce was bullshit. Our good friend Jeff Bezos converted a lot of Amazon stock to cash in 2019. You know, a lot. Billions. And billions with a B, before the hyperinflation hits, or whatever fucking is coming. I don't really know. I'm just pretty certain it's not going to be that great. Yeah, Tongato Manu. I say to all the Birdman cult people who are doing exactly what the deep state wants them to do. You know, following the greater Scientology. But first topic, which technically is the second topic now. Needed to update you on the election though, right? If you haven't been paying attention to this farce, to repeat, the mainstream media has declared President Biden, President Biden, and Trump claims it's been stolen and there's going to be court cases. But I got to tell you, and I don't think Jim's going to want to hear this tomorrow, I think we're a week away from Trump giving the statesmanlike speech. Yes, it's going to be huge. He'll give a statesmanlike speech, probably on the grassy lawn, the grassy knoll. Maybe he'll smoke a grassy bowl. Ladies and gentlemen, American people, the Democrats are Weasley scumbags. I must, though, step down. Because they're the assholes who would stick around. And we're good Republicans, so we play by the rules. Don't be a fool. I was your President Trump. Yeah. And that basically could still indicate they want chaos. But in that scenario, I think you're looking at rapid crackdowns, and it could get crazy. But let's go to first topic. Piety. Someone mentioned to me something the other day, and I was thinking about this, and I need to just talk about this. I'm a Christian. This is true. I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross. I believe that Jesus Christ was man and God. I believe that he sits now at the right hand of God. I believe in the Trinity, which is really three parts of what we would call God: the Son, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. I believe in these things, but I'm not always pious. And, you know, if you look at the definition of piety in the dictionary, you know, one definition is fidelity to natural obligations. Another definition is dutifulness in religion or devoutness. I sometimes take the Lord's name. Sometimes I do use the Lord's name in vain. I shouldn't, but I do. And it's something I got to work on. And sometimes I do refer to topics in the context of a podcast in a way that is not pious or devout. And I have to say, I know the Lord in heaven knows this about me. I think Jesus knows all of this. I would not need to do a podcast nor open my mouth for God to know my thoughts. So if the question is, well, you know, where's the secret? There is no secret here. I am probably not as pious a person as I should be. This is a fact. I do work on it because I do believe this is something I should work on. But I don't know how quickly in 2020 or 2021 that's going to change. But I think I was as pious as my father. You should hear the shit he said out in the woods. And I love my dad, but man, could he swear. And I mean, you know, coarse language. Coarse language. So many things were damned to hell by my father that I feel like he filled up hell by himself. It's like, God damn this to hell, God damn that to hell. And I gotta say, God damning something to hell is technically a curse. So, yeah, I love my dad, and I know he's in heaven, but man, he did technically curse when he goddamned things to hell. He was doing that. Let's just be honest about the language. He may not have meant it, and this is important too. It's not really a curse, because I don't think he meant to damn things to hell. So I think God knows that too. You see, this is my point about this little side conversation about piety. Piety and holiness can be interpreted in superficial ways or in deeper ways. There is a superficial piety that some people practice, and I think the Pharisees practice this. And, you know, maybe that's good for a lot of people, and maybe God does love you if you practice the superficial piety. But there's also a deeper piety, a deeper fidelity, a deeper duty to the Lord in heaven. You know, one of the things the Lord in heaven says, do not touch the unclean thing. And that really does mean if you're aware of something that's evil and you know that it's evil, it is your duty as a Christian to not be involved in it. Now, welcome to the Death Star, because that's where you live. If you live in the United States of America, you live on the Death Star. Try to be pious on the Death Star. Try to not touch the unclean thing. The unclean thing is everywhere at this point. And the places that it's not, like, I don't know, Amish communities, the media and the culture is telling you, oh, but the Amish are evil too. The Amish are bad. Look at how the Amish have been redefined in recent years. That's not accidental. And I'm telling you, they can't have their global hyperstatism unless they roll over the Amish. So, yeah, even though the Amish may not be aware of this, they're coming for them too. You cannot be allowed to be separate. You cannot be allowed to be independent. You cannot be allowed to worship your Lord in your own way. You will be given one world religion, and you will be expected to obey it. And if you practice Christianity, you will be a criminal. In the hyperstatism scenario, that's what's coming. So I'm talked about piety. Next topic. I am off of Twitter again. Let's talk about Dan and the history of Twitter with Dan. When my sister Nancy died in 2012, and keep in mind, up until 2012, I was not on any social media at all. Zero, zip, nada. I did technically have a blog, and I think I had, you know, a YouTube channel that was really just limping along. I had a crappy YouTube channel for a while, and then that one went away. But yeah, other than a blog, I really didn't have any type of presence on the internet. And the blog came into existence in 2010. you know, 2010, 2011, plus or minus, depending upon how people pick the beginnings of things. But And so my sister dies of cancer. And some friends of mine, quote unquote, say, Dan, why don't you go on social media to work out some issues over that death, you know, and connect with people? And it sort of made sense. You know, I was so depressed at the time and really in a dark place that even though it was terrible advice, I mean, it was the kind of terrible advice that you entertain when you're in a dark place. Boy, do I have stories about that. Yeah, terrible fucking advice. My sister just died. I'm going on Twitter. And at the time, I was married, and my ex-wife was on Facebook, and it was generally agreed that I could not be on Facebook. Man, when I think back about some of the shit that went on back then, I wonder about all that. But that being said, I'm on Twitter 2012, and I'm just having regular conversations with people. And almost immediately, I get banned from Twitter. Okay, I don't say blocked by someone, I mean banned from Twitter, just because I was interacting with people, period. I didn't know I didn't have a right to do that. I didn't know I didn't have a right to talk about God. I didn't know I didn't have a right to question reality. All I could really do is shift around banal bullshit, pictures of food I just ate, pictures of a fucking cat. Yeah. And I'm not just going to beat up on Twitter. What I'm saying applies to all this quote-unquote social media. It is not just that it's a time suck. It's not just that it operates on the basis of the dopamine channels of the brain and in that sense is addictive. It's not just that it's an ego pyramid scheme that teaches the wrong stuff about human relationships. But it's also just a big fucking gulag. Okay, that's what it is. It's a place to be controlled. You don't need to have Facebook to have a presence on the web. You could actually just have your own website or open up a WordPress blog. And that would be better for you psychologically than having a fucking Facebook page. And they tell you, oh, but you won't get any traffic. Do you know how much of the traffic you get is just bullshit? PSYOP? Controlled? I quickly figured that shit out with my second account. And after my second account, all the other accounts basically lasted, you know, less and less time. You know? Till eventually I get to the point where I open up a Twitter account again. I did it in March, basically March. I opened up some fake accounts in the last couple years to fuck with people. But I opened up the legit account again just to see what people were talking about. Because back in 2012, they were all talking about how they're going to stand up to Obama and fight against Obama and we're going to join the Oath Keepers and shit. And so I go on and what am I seeing? I'm seeing the same fucking bullshit. The same stupid conversation. Oh, we're going to do something. Really? When? Twitter might help you. Social media might be good for you. For me, it is poisonous. I went back on Twitter to try to advertise for my podcast. That was a mixed success. I went back on Twitter this year to sort of look at what people were talking about. I think I got a little bit of a benefit from that, but it was a huge negative too. I went back on Twitter and I did connect with a few good people, but I got trolled by a lot of fucking scumbags. And when I say scumbags, I mean manufactured. They don't fucking exist, scumbags. And no, I'm not going to list them for you. You can figure out that shit yourself. But believe me, I had a quote-unquote phone call with one of these scumbags, and I figured out his deal very fucking quickly. His deal was a lot of bullshit. I'm buying a house in an expensive city, but I can't afford a phone that works. Well, that, except for the fact that you live in fucking Canada and not Kathmandu, your shit doesn't make any sense, Mr. Canada. And I'm going to say Mr. Canada because that guy is total bullshit and yet he sucks people in. He sucks Liberty Movement people in. He sucks Austrians in. He sucks people into his fucking bullshit, his banal crap, Post me a GIF that describes reality. Okay, Mr. Canada. Twitter was not good for me. In the last few days since I disconnected, and God, I hate using that word because I've been watching this series on Scientology, and I don't think they have a right to take that word, but since I deleted or deactivated my Twitter account, I feel like a weight has been lifted. My friends have my email address. I have a public email address. If people wanted to send me a message, send me an email. But you know what, though? Emails have a different type of tracing, a different type of solidity, in a sense, a different type of control. An email, it's more difficult to do the email scam, really, in a lot of ways, than the Twitter, Facebook, I don't exist scam. So yeah, I went back on Twitter, and also I'm shadow banned pretty much everywhere, but on Twitter I'm deeply banned. And so even if I wanted to use Twitter to interact with people, to spread, you know, knowledge of my podcast, I'm prevented from doing so. So the bottom line is Twitter was, you know, basically another waste of time. Huge waste of time. It's kind of like a friend of mine recommended applying for unemployment insurance. Well, Dan, everyone's getting it. Everyone's getting it. And I tried to explain to him, there are people that get that who are actually selected, which means that if you're not in the right demographic at this point, you're probably going to get denied a lot of shit, including food and housing. And that's coming too. Like I said, folks, a day is very close where if you're a Christian, you're probably going to be deeply persecuted in a really horrible way. And it's not like this year has been that kind to Christians. It really hasn't. You know, I gotta say, I think that a lot of religious groups have been under attack, but in many ways, this year was really about just beating up on Christians. And yeah. And I think that's on purpose. I think there's a satanic purpose to that. But there are many purposes. Anywho, I'm off of Twitter, next fucking topic, right? Okay, lesser Scientology and greater Scientology. And let me talk through this because it's related to that word disconnect and disconnection that I feel like has been stolen. The lesser Scientology is the one founded by L. Ron Hubbard in 1950. And this is the Scientology, the weird Scientology of Xenu and Thetans and the reactive mind and that weird-ass fucking golden base or gold base or golden era base in California. God, that place looked like a snake pit. And snake pit is a reference to a film about, you know, about asylums, about mental institutions. Anywho. Yeah, that place looked like a fucking snake pit. So there is the lesser Scientology of L. Ron Hubbard, but there is a greater Scientology that was founded by Jean-Jacques Rousseau in the 18th century. This is the social contract, baby. Think about how many rules Scientology has. It has tons of rules, tons of books of rules. It kind of reminds me of our government. And think of our government. What do they tell you? Well, you have to participate. It's the social contract. You have to vote. It's a social contract. You have to have your money stolen and given to some black box organization to do God knows what with because it's a fucking social contract. And they'll tell you things like rule of law. Rule of law, Dan, rule of law. Newsflash. We haven't had rule of law in the state of Washington since at least March. And I would argue that that was probably an illusion before March, but the illusion or the smokescreen disappeared and we realized, nope, rule of law is bullshit. Because here's the thing, rule of law only functions if it applies equally to all, to everyone. Which means no matter your income level, no matter your fucking connections, even if you're a fucking cop, Murder is murder. Period. There's no special exemptions. You don't get a special credit because you're a senator. If you kill somebody, you're a murderer. So, yeah, there is a lesser Scientology founded by L. Ron Hubbard. And it sucks. But there is a greater Scientology. Yes, there is a greater Scientology. And let's talk about disconnection. Do you remember those videos from like a few weeks ago of like people talking about how they went to their dying parents or their elderly parents or their old mom or dad and said, "Old mom or dad, I'm little Susie or Jackie up the butt. And I am going to not be your daughter. You won't see your grandchildren ever again unless you vote for Biden." That's exactly like disconnection in Scientology, folks. It's precisely the same fucking thing. Shunning people because they don't believe in your voting bullshit. And I don't care if you voted for Trump or Biden. If you believe the system actually works, you're a fucking idiot. You are. I'm sorry. I got no time to tell you, oh, you're just a little misguided. We're getting close to the kickoff, folks. If you're still living in fantasy land, you've got a rude awakening coming to you very fucking quickly. Very quickly. It's not months away. It's probably days away. And if you think the worst part about it's going to be the election, you're also deeply fucking confused. The election is just another psyop to keep you angry, to keep you confused, to keep you in an irrational state, so you can't deal with what the real problems probably are. And I don't know what they are, but I'm telling you. I'm telling you, folks, when people pile this much shit on people, it's usually to hide something. It's usually to keep something a secret. And it's gotta be a pretty terrible fucking secret at this point. Yeah, so let's talk about disconnection. Because in Scientology, disconnection means you no longer talk to the person, you don't deal with them, but even worse, disconnected people can be attacked by Scientology. So it's not as simple as cutting off contact. These people get attacked. Look at the situation. Probably these stupid motherfucker kids were already dicks before they went to their parents and said, "You better vote this, you better vote that." But now they're attacking their parents in a sense. They're attacking their loved ones. So yeah, there is a lesser Scientology, and you can escape it. You can escape Gold Base. You can escape Scientology. You can escape it, and you don't even have to pay your freeloader's bill, which, man, talk about a bullshit religion. A freeloader's debt? Okay? What the fuck, L. Ron? I mean, you gotta give him credit, though. He did invent a religion, and it was so fucked up, but yet people believed it. So fucked up. So completely sideways, so ridiculous, so contradictory, so evil, really. You got to give him credit. He managed to get not a lot of people, but enough people with money to believe that shit. But on the other hand, what if it really was just an MKUltra project? Anyways, let's just leave that for now. Next topic. Okay, so in the notes, the links to the notes, there's a link to a YouTube video, a Dane Wigington YouTube video, his most recent one. His most recent Geoengineering Watch YouTube video, which is really just a podcast, mainly. I would recommend listening to it the first few minutes if you can. He has some, you know, some actual quotes, some audio, Bill Gates basically talking about reproductive health and vaccines as a way to control population. So if Bill Gates is talking about population and then says, "But you know, the good news is we have vaccines coming. We have vaccines coming that will help us reduce the population." When a motherfucker can say shit like that and nobody holds him accountable, You know you're living in 2020, but it gets better because he actually uses the term the final solution. And then he says, well, we could get a 10 to 15% reduction in population from new vaccines alone. Wow. Wow, Bill. You think I want to take your fucking vaccine, Bill? You think I do? I don't. And I gotta say, if there's a motherfucker out there that's looking forward to giving me that shot, wow. Strange days, folks. Strange days ahead. You want to inject me with a bioweapon from Bill Gates? I get to inject you with lead. Right. Anyways, I've got a link to the video. I recommend listening to the first 20 minutes. And then he has excerpts from a debate that he had with a professor, a scientist, a dude who studies the climate. And I thought that was good too. But again, you know, up to you. Leverage. Leverage, leverage, leverage. That's another very squishy term because In the finance world, leverage can refer to the amount of debt you carry in order to do something, or the amount of debt you can put into effect. The amount of leverage represents the amount of credit you can get. But that's not really a good kind of leverage because it's based upon a false premise that you know the state of the future. You don't. In fact, you could argue that insurance itself is a bullshit industry, but historically, and this is how it worked, and it kind of worked from a mathematical perspective, historically, there was always a recognized stable rate of interest. There was a rate of interest that was relatively stable. Yes, there were weird periods of time where it, you know, got exceedingly low or high, but in general, insurance companies could plan their book of business on the value of money. And if you could do that, and better yet, if you could keep gold and silver, you could always offset the reality that, yes, people are going to die, people get sick, disasters happen, as long as the law of averages works in your favor. The problem is money has been made virtually worthless. And when I say money, I should say fiat currency. Real money is gold and silver. We've been using worthless chit, worthless paper, and in a worthless paper world, insurance doesn't work. So even if insurance was the one kind of industry where, well, leverage works, it doesn't really any longer. So there's bad leverage, and that's debt, but there's good leverage, and that's technology. And I think the best technology has always been about leverage, doing more with less. You know, for example, one of the first weapons that human beings learned how to design was technically a spear thrower. Okay, it was basically a weapon that gave you extra leverage on throwing a spear. And you might say, well, Dan, what does that give you? By yourself, it gives you a lot. But in groups of 10 or 20, it gives you a ton. If you're stalking buffalo and who knows, you know, humans coexisted with giant woolly mammoths. So if you're stalking woolly mammoths, having a little bit of leverage as you throw that spear might actually be helpful. Leverage is technology when it's doing something good. Leverage in general, when it's bad, is pretty much only debt. Next topic. Son of Sam. I'm not going to spend time on this, but I was watching my sister's French Bulldog this week, and I thought it would help, and it could have helped. But it's impossible to disconnect around a Frenchie. They really do need you to focus on them. They need your energy. In fact, they're kind of like, I think they are soul vampires, I'm sorry. I said soul pirates. No, yes. Really, they're emotional pirates and soul vampires. And they get, you know, and the thing is, he'll get up on the sofa and he'll look at me with his little, you know, dark eyes and his little crinkly face. And he'll look at me and it's like you feel sad. And so I just want to hug Dan And so he'll give you, you know, his body and hug you, and you have him sleeping on you. But then he starts farting. Yeah, then he starts farting. Yes, then he starts farting. And, you know, the fart from a French bulldog contains the gaseous form of chemical processes that involve eating terrible shit. This motherfucker dog takes his fucking, these doggy treats that look like bones, but they're not actually bones. He buries them, and then he digs them back up again. And then he'll come in the room, and you'll see this dirty, nasty, putrid thing in his mouth. And I know I'm getting paid to make sure it doesn't die. That's another thing, too. If you believe some people, they can't really live unless people are watching them. What kind of a fucking dog is that? Okay, that's a dog that's fallen far from the wolf, if you ask me. I mean, there's a little bit of wolf in Beans, but not much. There's a little bit of wolf in Beans. A tiny, tiny bit, but not much. Not much at all. So Son of Sam, that Berkowitz guy, he claimed that his neighbor's dog, Sam, was giving him messages. You know, that his neighbor's dog was possessed by a demon and that Sam was giving him messages. And, you know, it's silly. It's ridiculous. But if you've ever been around a Frenchie, you can kind of see how that might work because they have this way of communicating because of their deformities that appears almost human-like. Like, they'll just do that little whimpering, and in that wabbada wabbada, there is some message, you know, I am Beans, I am the Ancient One, I order you to take out that old person. Oh my God, you see, Beans just sent me a message. 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 Son of Beans, S.O.B. That actually makes a lot of sense. I mean, I'm trying to be a good person, so as a Christian, it's not likely that I'll ever go down this road. But at least I can always just say, Beans made me do it. Beans was giving me orders. I'm operating under the orders of Beans. Every time he farts, he releases a parasite. A plume of parasites. These parasites get into your brain. They drive you totally insane. They drive you insane. Next topic, mindfulness is the most recent Scientology. So we know that lesser Scientology was created by L. Ron Hubbard. The greater Scientology was created by Jean-Jacques Rousseau in the form of social contract. But mindfulness is a new lesser Scientology, like L. Ron Hubbard's. And you know, I know it's like Scientology because it gets slipped in. Like that fucking Noom bullshit. Okay? These Noom commercials come off. Oh, you want to lose weight. You got to get about yourself and your whatever. And then it'll be like, I'm more mindful. Really? You've controlled your reactive mind? Yes. So mindfulness, in my opinion, is the brand new lesser Scientology. Oh, Dan, that's terrible. You're a terrible, mean person to say that. Am I really? Am I really? Okay, next topic. So, we started out talking about the election, but I actually have a sort of a bulleted list of scenarios at this point. And I think all these, so there are basically four basic scenarios. And let's talk about them and their likelihood. And they're not ranked in any order of likelihood. So, you know, it's just a list. So the first scenario is contested election, which means a scenario where we're in right now, where both sides are basically claiming they won. Trump claims he won. Biden and the media claims he won. That's a contested election. And this leads to some type of civil strife or maybe even civil war, which then leads to hyperstatism. I give this a 10% chance at this point. The next scenario also starts with contested election. And it leads to civil war. But in this scenario, we get a sort of a Soviet-style, what I would call a soft collapse of an empire, kind of like what happened to the Soviet Union in the early 90s. This would be my preferable scenario. It's probably why I rank it with a 20% chance, because I would prefer that we end up getting rid of the fucking empire. I think every decent American should want to get rid of the ugly, deep state, military-industrial complex, fucking welfare whore empire. In fact, if you care about welfare queens, start with the fucking Department of Defense, motherfucker. That's where you start. Not only are they welfare queens, but they're welfare queens that go around killing people. So that seems like a great fucking place to start, you know, if you're trying to, you know, take care of the welfare queen problem. So yeah, the second scenario listed here, contested election leads to civil war, which leads to USSR-style collapse, and I give that a 20% chance. The third possibility is Biden wins and Trump gives his statesman-like speech. I give this a 50% chance at this point, which means of all the scenarios, this one is still the most likely. Biden is declared winner. That's already happened. And then sometime, next 7 to 10 days, maybe 2 weeks at the outside, Trump has a big announcement. Ladies and gentlemen, ladies and germs. Ladies and germs, this is the president. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if Trump has a news conference, and at the conference is George W. Bush and Barack Obama, and even Biden shows up, because that stuttering old fuck, there's nothing going on. If you voted for Biden because you liked Biden, how fucking stupid are you? Biden will be dead by spring. Yes, he'll go through the inauguration to prevent any constitutional crisis, but you voted for Kamala Harris and probably Vice President Hillary Clinton. Yeah. Get ready. Get ready for it. Get ready for Vice President Hillary Clinton or potentially Vice President Bill Gates. We're at that point. So the third scenario is Biden wins. And, you know, according to the mainstream media, he won, right? Sometime the next week or so, Trump gives a statesman-like speech. And I've spoken about this before, so this isn't a new prediction, you know. And then Bill Gates is made COVID czar by Christmas. And again, I must point out, for all the fucking Russia hatred in DC, they sure do love to use that word czar a lot, don't they? But yeah, Bill Gates will probably be COVID czar by Christmas. And this scenario is 50%, which means flip a coin. And if Trump gives a statesman-like speech, I think Bill Gates is COVID czar pretty much by Christmas. They're going to give him some role like that. COVID czar, COVID queen, COVID king, COVID motherfucker. Bill Gates will be there. And now people saying, but Dan, no, he doesn't like to do that. Really? Well, he's had a coming out party this year, motherfucker. So yeah, I think that does happen. 50% chance. The last scenario at this point is also one that I think is likely, but I don't want to give it a high likelihood because, and this is prejudice on my part in making a prediction, because it really does point to something quite terrible. The last scenario is that all of this bullshit, all of the revelations, everything, maybe even including Julian Assange and WikiLeaks, all of it was engineered to confuse, to anger, to create chaos, to create fear, to create nothing but unrelenting gaslighting for the last couple of years, really since 2016. And it's been building up since then. Certainly the monkey herpes, aka COVID, has been a ratcheting up of the bullshit. But man, have we been piled in bullshit. And when I say bullshit, I think a lot of this has been true. Like I said, I think the pedophile revelations are true. But if you think we're finding out because there are good people in the deep state, you're a fucking idiot. That's not why that's happening. You're finding out because they want you to. Believe me, if they didn't want you to, they could shut it all down. They can't. They could. It's kind of like what Jim said in his most recent essay. They've been rigging elections for years, but they want people to know they're doing it, which means that they kind of do want people to get really pissed off. So anywho, the last scenario is they're doing all this to hide something. And, you know, I went on Google tonight to search for clathrate gun again. And the funny thing is, you have to go to page 3 before you get to any essays or articles that are even remotely scientific and supportive. The first page is usually, oh, clathrate gun is bullshit. There is no methane problem. Don't worry about the permafrost melting. That's no big deal. But worry about global warming. And you want to talk about gaslighting? The ultimate gaslighting is when global warming motherfuckers tell you to not worry about probably the biggest fucking problem we would face. And that would be the uncontrolled release of methane and conversion of organics in the Arctic Circle. Because the fact is, one 50 gigaton burst, which can happen anytime now, and that would be just one big burst, would equal roughly all of the industrial activity on Earth since 1970, which also means most of what we've done to the atmosphere in the last 200 years, and that would just take a few days. And that's just the first fart. After that fart comes another and another, because it's a positive feedback. The warmer things get, the more disruptive the Arctic Ocean gets, the more methane gets released. The more permafrost melts, the more little living creatures start converting organics, the more methane and CO2 that gets released. This is not a scenario that depends upon you driving an SUV. This is not a scenario that depends upon you eating cheeseburgers or not eating cheeseburgers. In fact, the very fact that they don't talk about it points to how full of shit these people are. Right? A lot of the people who claim to be protecting the environment are totally full of shit. You must see this by now. You must see that Al Gore is full of shit. You must see that little Greta Thunberg is a fool, a paid fool. Her parents are abusing her. I mean, I don't know if she's an adult yet, technically, but as a child, this is child abuse. Kind of like elder abuse with the whole Biden thing, but boy, that's its own topic too, isn't it? So yeah, the fourth scenario is the worst one, and I give it 20% chance. So contested civil war leads to hyperstatism, 10% chance. Contested elections, civil war leads to hyperstatism, 10% chance. That's scenario one. Scenario two, contested election leads to civil war, Soviet-style collapse. That's 20%. Number three, Biden wins. Trump is a statesman. That's 50%. That gives you Bill Gates as the COVID czar. And then, of course, the last scenario, 20% chance that all this is, including the election, all of this is designed to just keep people unaware of the truly ugly situation that we're facing. And I hope it's not the case, but I'll talk about that more maybe tomorrow. And boy, I got through those notes, and it looks like I have to go to another day's notes to actually continue. So let's see. Let's just review some notes from yesterday. You know? Let's do that, people, humans of Space Tribe Alpha X-Ray 7. Space Tribe Alpha X-Ray 7, come in. This is Earth. Space Tribe Alpha X-Ray 7. This is Earth over. So I told you I was ODing on this Leah Remini series, and at one point, one of the people on the show said, Scientology is a real estate scam masquerading as a religion. And it occurred to me that at this point, Death Star America is mostly a real estate scam masquerading as a country. Scientology is a real estate scam masquerading as a religion. But I gotta say, I think the United States of America is currently a real estate scam masquerading as a country. Sorry for raining your parade. So I told a friend of mine a story. This is a story from, and this is funny. This is kind of a Twitter story in a way. This is kind of a Twitter story from my second Twitter account. This goes back to October of 2013, just a few weeks after my ex-wife dumped me. That's okay. I probably deserved it. Anywho, during that time period, that was the mandatory registration for Obamacare. If you remember that shitty Obamacare site, it was so shitty and cost millions of dollars. But yeah, we all had to register. Well, I'll tell you, I did not. I never registered for that bullshit. And if that means I die in the streets, dump me in the river, or better yet, bury me in the woods to return my nutrients to the soil, fuck you. But at the time, I was interested in how crappy the website was, and they had a chat application, so you could chat with an Obamacare agent, but it didn't require a login. You could just go chat, no login. And I thought, that's funny. What was funnier is that even though it was 2013 and not, you know, 1997, they were using frames, lots of frames. And if you're a web programmer, you should be vomiting in your mouth a bit right now. Yeah, they used a lot of frames. Their chat app was technically just a frame, which means a separate web page, which means that you could link to that web page, and all you would see when it showed up was the chat application. And if you were smarter, you could embed that potentially in another site and, you know, even do it better. But I didn't really want to go crazy. What I did is I bought a domain in October, I think it was October 2013. I bought a domain name, obamasexchat.com, and then I redirected it to that frame page, which has a chat application, but without the website around it, you wouldn't know what it's for. So people would go to this little chat application expecting, you know, Obama-style sex chat. ObamaSexChat.com. ObamaSexChat.com is where you get to talk about girl-on-girl Obama-style sex chat. Obama-style sex chat, yeah. He thought it was funny, and you know, it's what's really sad is that all this stuff usually gets swallowed up and destroyed. Like, anything that's kind of funny doesn't really register. And my friend Jim mentioned this, and I did not know this, but the Wayback Machine, which supposedly was going to keep track of all the stuff on the internet, well, they're going to start deleting stuff. You know, folks, if you don't see what's coming and what's going on, I can't help you. Here's another little important tidbit before we close out for this evening. Probably in the next few weeks, I think, maybe in another 90 days, there will be no podcast from Dan. And it won't be because I won't want to. It's because I won't be able to. I think there's a very good chance that a huge crackdown is coming. But even if a crackdown isn't coming, if we're headed towards a civil war, I don't see how the internet as it currently works will keep working. I think people will cut lines of communication. I think all types of electronic warfare will be used. And so, sadly, over the next few weeks, these could be the last podcasts. Now, the good news is I got links to all my MP3s on my website, dfgtc.org. And if you wanted to download all this, you could. All of it, going back to 2013. But, gotta tell you, straight up, man, all of this will probably be gone. All of it will be deleted. This isn't because I'm special either. Okay? I'm no more special than the other millions of people who are going to be deleted. This is something people need to be prepared for. Their brothers and sisters, their moms and dads, who still maintain their dignity and their self-worth, are going to say no. They're going to say, no, you don't get to inject me. No, you don't get to inject my children. No, I don't trust the murdering son of a bitch Bill Gates, who talks almost nonchalantly about lopping off 10 or 15% of the population with vaccines. If you can't understand what that's referring to, I can't help you. That's about as close to an admission of mass poisoning as you're ever going to fucking get. As if anyone cares, though. ObamaSexChat.com. Now, it no longer works. They fixed that frame issue relatively quickly because they figured out that it was so stupid. But still, they spent $20 million on that website, I think, back in 2013. $20 million. If they'd given me $20 million, they would have gotten something. But I gotta say, though, that kind of tells you what we're in, the situation we're in. Okay? Scientology is probably a real estate scam masquerading as a religion. And yes, the United States of America, and really social contract generally, is the greater Scientology. And this year should have shown it. All the fucking mask wearing, the mask doesn't do anything. All the mask does is harm you. All the mask does is put you at greater risk. It does nothing to help you or anyone else. If that's not some type of Scientological bullshit, I don't know what is. But it is worship. It's stupid worship. Oh, I won't want to talk to you if you don't vote for Biden. I don't want to be your friend if you don't vote for Trump. What the fuck is wrong with you? Is my only question. Do you have a soul? Do you have any sense of self or friendship or love? You would actually put at risk a relationship between your mother and father and a child, between a grandparent and their grandchildren, because they didn't vote the right way in a thing that doesn't even work in the first place, and they mock you with how it doesn't work. So you take something real and flush that down the toilet for something fake. You know, congratulations, you're such a great fucking human being. Yeah. If you can't tell the signs of the times, if, you know, as Bob Dylan would say, you don't need a weatherman to know which way the wind blows. If you can't tell which way the wind's blowing right now, I can't help you. I can't. It is not blowing in the direction that they're telling you. That's all I can say with certainty, that they are lying to you, and most of you are accepting the lie in various forms. In various forms. Anywho, I'm going to close out, really not tonight, because it's really tomorrow. It's really 1 a.m. now, which means it's tomorrow time. We're in tomorrow time now. We're in a time of the future where it's tomorrow, and later today I'll be talking with my friend Jim, assuming I'm not drunk. And assuming I'm not drunk, I'll work on a service, because I didn't do one last week. I can blame Beans if I want to, but I shouldn't blame Beans. I should take responsibility. I love my Lord. I am a Christian. When it comes to it, if Christians are going to be tossed into a pit, you know, I'll stand in front of the line if they need somebody to. And I don't want to die, but if that's the choice, to be a human being as God made me, or to be a slave, I'm going to choose to be human. And if that means I end up dying, I'd rather live one day free than 20 years as a slave. Let me repeat that statement so it's not fucking confusing. I would have one free day, one day where I can choose to be who I want to be, even if that's just to sit around and do nothing. I would have one free day of my own choices than 20 years as a fucking techno slave with 50 kinds of chips rammed up my butt and 20 types of vaccines being injected every other week. So yeah, that's where I stand with Bill Gates and the magical vaccine and the monkey herpes and the race war and all the other revelations and lies that have been dumped on you and me. I'll take one day as a free man. As a free human being, over 20 years as a slave. I've made my choice. You should make yours.